I grew up in, I was born in 44, grew up in the 50s and the early 60s. And I tell Judy some of these television programs that I used to watch, and she said, I've never seen that. She said, we didn't even have electricity when I was growing up, let alone a television. But one of my all-time favorite ones was Lost in Space. If you remember that little robot running around with them harmonica-type arms, and when the kid, Will Robinson, when he got close to danger, the robot would holler out, danger, danger, sound. That's the way it was in the Lost in Space. And then Will Robertson was aware of the danger. Now, maybe some of you are too young to remember that show, Lost in Space, but it was sort of like a pre-Star Trek type of thing and told stories about the Robertson family in outer space and adventure. And we know two humans that are lost in space right now. Yeah. Anyhow, Will Robertson was being protected by a robot that was programmed to let him know about dangers or unknown environmental things or whatever they needed. But in the 1960s, it was also a time of exploration. You remember what John Kennedy said in his speech? By the end of the decade, you know, we will put a man on the moon. And I was able to watch that on television, that thing that went up. And then the other day I watched two people that went up in space, common people like you and me, not trained astronauts, and did a spacewalk live on television. It's incredible where we are today. But it's good to look back on some of these things. So today we watch similar kind of shows, movies, stories about maybe the Avengers, James Bond, Star Wars, or any other action-packed stories that capture the sense and the thrill of adventure. So we go to the movies, and then we go home to our safe and secure home, and we thank God that it was only a movie. But our sense of adventure for real life often wanes in the face of adversity. We in the church, while we claim to be in mission-oriented, have become in real life mostly mission adverse. Our inner warning signal that goes off every time we think about going out into our communities and talking about Jesus. We might as well be lost in space, for that's how many people feel about our culture that we're living in right now. It feels like a strange and dangerous environment in which we don't know who's out there. Who will react in a hostile way towards us, or maybe even challenge us or trash us or put us down for our Christian beliefs? Our decreased tolerance for risk-taking keeps us happier to be secured in our own sanctuaries than out in the midst of the world proclaiming the gospel. It's a scary place, the world is. And discipleship is risky business. And Jesus didn't argue the point with his disciples. Now, in fact, he spent a great amount of time making sure that his disciples know just how dangerous their future path is as one of his disciples. He told them, you're going to face persecution. You're going to get pushed back on. You're going to be in danger. You might even be tortured, rejected, banished, and even death. And some of the disciples ended up death for the glory of the gospel. Yet Jesus encouraged them to do it. And you wonder why? Because God's message of hope to humanity is that important. And Jesus' sacrifice and promise of hearts changed, a world transformed, a future life promise is that important. God's mission is so important that Jesus spent 3 years training people who he believes would have the courage to undertake it. And he simply didn't put out a sign saying, I need 60 able-bodied people, apply within. No, he was looking for people that was willing to risk their lives for the faith community. He chose his disciples very carefully. He cultivated them. He taught them. He discipled them. He nurtured them. He motivated their hearts and lit a fire in their souls for God's mission of love to a dying and hurting world. And then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he set them loose into the world. You know, he went home to be with the Father, and he left these guys behind to do the mission. We now know it as the church. The result, a church was born and is still alive and well. That's the church that Jesus set out to give to us, modern day disciples, as we call ourselves Christ followers. Then the apostles went out. The only difference between the disciples and the apostles is the apostles, when they got their training and they were no longer disciples, they became apostles, meaning they went out to teach. That's all it means. And they did a good job. Thank God for them, because now 2,000 plus years later, we are still preaching hope in the gospel. Well, like Abraham and Jacob and others before them, they went into the mission fields with their eyes wide open, but expecting the unexpected, ready for what might come their way, but keeping arms and hearts open to bless and love in every step of the way. That was also risky business. But it's also a rewarding business, for when you are willing to take great risk, you also will reap great rewards. Not only is this the story of the Bible, and those stories are there for a purpose. God wanted us to understand all the challenges and all the things that you will face in life, and give you answers and then seal you with the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to keep on keeping on. Today, though, those who understand the human psychic, psychologists and coaches and entrepreneurs, lifelong learners, those who would tell us that risk may feel uncomfortable. But they also create opportunities, enable growth, spur our creativity, and increase our chances for success in whatever venture we might undertake. Most of life's meaningful moments comes from taking risk. Whether it's a new job, new relationship, a divorce, or a promotion, or inventors, every inventor, every patent holder, every scientist, every business owner understands the meaning of risk. Most successful business people have first failed several times. I've been blessed to be able to experience that entrepreneur spirit. And I failed a lot of times on my way to where I am today. And I look back now and I'm thinking, wow, that all those failures helped me to get better and to be able to continue on. And then finally, when I hit bottom in life and I had nowhere else to look but up, that's when God allowed me to come and go on the track that I'm on now. Most successful people write books. Most of them will tell you their manuscripts are rejected 40, 50 times before somebody said, that would make a good movie, and different things. And so most churches, though, try something once in a resigned way, and then they look back and say, well, it didn't work. We tried that. No one wants to give up. So let's keep on keeping on and sharing the gospel one person at a time, whether it's a family member, a child, or anybody. Just keep on promoting the gospel. That's why we have hope. So why are we as people afraid of risk-taking? Well, it's one of them human nature things, and it's because of fear of failure. It holds us back, keeping us stuck, preventing us from moving forward and growing our own discipleship, relying on our faith, from stepping out. But Jesus' disciples knew, as Jesus himself taught them, as we too have experiences in our life and our own adventures, nothing is gained without nothing being ventured. Failure is inevitable if you want to avoid risk. So Jesus, what he did for his disciples, he's done for us. And he's passed it down in a way that we become Christ followers in the process of mentoring them and preparing them in what we still need to do today. We need to refrain from failure. Not as an ending or as a stone on a path. It has to be laid out so it's a path to success. And it's all about creating a kind of community that allows failures to be part of learning and not about measuring up to a standard or a goal. It means making your faith about healing and loving and about relationships and cultivating the joy of hope in others instead of making it a goal for us individually to accomplish in order just to fill up the pews. Preachers got to be very careful about that. I would love to fill up the pews, but I need to be able just to keep on planting seeds and different things and let the Holy Spirit fill up the pews of the church. Right motivations plus a healthy view of failure will equal a mind and a heart open to risk-taking. The kind of healthy risk-taking that can lead most of us to fulfilling that wonderful thing in life called adventure. It's a journey. It's not a sprint. It's a journey. Life is an adventure. And you never know when that day will come that you will encounter something unexpected. Danger! Danger! It's out there. There are risks, to be sure, but there's also great rewards. Humanity can sometimes be vicious, judgmental, and attacking. Times of unrest. We're seeing it in different parts of the world, in our own country in the last few years, can seem to bring out the very worst in human nature. And yet, people can also surprise us. In one magical, unique moment, we can know that we made a difference. I don't know if Phil was able to do it. I ran across a little video clip of a commercial, and the commercial kind of opens up with a guy just walking through a blizzard. I don't know if where he was going, but he was walking through that blizzard, and the storm got him to the end. And in that commercial, he was holding something that looked like a light. Now, I watched that thing I don't know how many times. I can't figure out what it was, but he continued on, and the wind blew, and the snow came, and he got so tired, he just collapsed. Well, there was a wolf off in the path, the distance, and was just watching them. Next thing you know, the wolf comes down to where the man fell in the snow, and then there must have been 15 or 20 other wolves that came around. Not to eat him, but to lay on him, to keep him warm until that storm passed and he was able to get up. I don't know what that little light was. It showed it again, but I don't know. But the point being, that's the message of the church. When somebody is hurting, we come around them and give them just a little bit of warmth or nourishment that they might need to get through whatever they're going through. The message we need to do for the church, because we need, Jesus was countercultural. We need to be countercultural in what we're doing. It's in our nature, and despite sometimes our worst inclinations, we are committed to a loving, including, healing, making a difference in people's lives. That involves risk-taking, to become vulnerable. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher. But we need to do our best in order to minister to people and to be there for them. This little church in its own way does a very, very good job of helping people that come our way, because it is our human nature. We need to be our best. But unless we venture out into the wilds of the world, we may fail to experience the worst, but we will never experience the heart-wrenching, amazing, spectacular rewards that come by giving our best.